Welcome to the Community Meets Clinic series, a collaborative podcast to introduce clinicians, clinician scientists, and healthcare personnel working directly with individuals and families facing a rare neuroimmune diagnosis. Hear directly from those in the clinic and connect with the individuals whose focus is promoting quality of life for those diagnosed with a rare neuroimmune disorder. SRNA is a nonprofit focused on support, education, and research of rare neuroimmune disorders. You can learn more about us on our website at wearesrna.org. Community Meets Clinic is sponsored in part by Amgen, Alexion AstraZeneca Rare Disease, UCB, and Genentech. Hello and welcome. My name is Chrissy Dilger, and I moderated this episode. Today, we meet Dr. Ayşe Altıntaş, a clinician from Koç University. Dr. Altıntaş is a professor of neurology at Koç University School of Medicine. Her work focuses on multiple sclerosis, neuromyelitis optica spectrum disorder, and MOG antibody-associated diseases, with an emphasis on biomarkers and disease mechanisms. You can view her full bio in the podcast description. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Altıntaş. I am glad to have you on the podcast and excited to learn a bit more about you as well as the clinic at Koch University. So to start, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and what led you to neurology?
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure for me to be here today. And thank you for having me. So actually, I am a neurologist. And my special interest is neuroimmunology. So during the medical school, I decided to become neurologist in the sixth year, actually. So there was a graduation thesis in my faculty, and my graduation thesis was about multiple sclerosis. So I had a chance to work with the multiple sclerosis patients, and it was a great experience for me. So I saw the complexity of the brain and the nervous system. And in that time, actually, there was very limited therapies and very limited information about these immune-related neurological diseases. So, and all the things, made my decision easier to become a neurologist, because my aim was to become a clinician scientist, not only clinician. So this is why neurology and the immune-related neurological disease fit my aim very well, because there was lots of questions waiting for answers. So I just thought that I can do something for the patients, especially for the patients with the immune-related neurological disease. So this is why I choose to become a neurologist and also a neuroimmunologist.
Great, thank you. What led you to focus on the rare neuroimmune disorders such as transverse myelitis, ADEM, NMOSD, etc.?
Yes. Actually, as you mentioned, although they are rare, but they affect the young adults and also pediatric cases. So, and I just thought that there are lots of problems or lots of, topics, unanswered topics related with this patient. And misdiagnosis actually was an important issue for these patients. So as a clinician, I just would like to do something for the diagnosis, and this is why I'm a member now and to describe a new diagnostic criteria of NMOSD. I'm a panel member of this international panel, and we are still working on. And so I think diagnosis and misdiagnosis still high as, 20% at least in a really good center. So I think we need more information about these disorders to decrease this misdiagnosis rate. And the other thing, actually, although we have some biomarkers and some targeted treatments, for example, in NMOSD, but we have still a group of patients with no treatment, like seronegative NMOSD and MOGAD. So I just thought that I can do something for this group of patients. So there are lots of things to be done. And we need the young generations, actually, young neurologists interested in rare neuroimmune disorders.
Awesome. Well, that sounds great. And we're looking forward to hearing more about those guidelines once they are published, the NMOSD criteria that you mentioned.
Yes.
So do you have any particular interest areas that you are working on in research?
Yes, actually, in the former years, multiple sclerosis was the main area of interest. But recently, I can say at least since 10 years, I am focused on my research, focused on NMOSD and MOGAD. So recently, we have different research actually going on regarding to the pathogenesis or, the biomarkers of these disorders. So I would like to mention three of them just shortly. The first one is just to understand the mechanism, pathogenetic mechanism of optic neuritis. As you know, optic neuritis is very common in NMOSD, in MOGAD, and in MS. So we treat the same way, actually, but we know that the pathogenesis of these disorders are different. So we are just trying to understand the pathogenetic differences in optic neuritis in NMOSD patients, MOGAD patients, seronegative NMOSD patients also. So it's about to, it's on the review period. We finished the first part of the study and we have some results actually. So our aim actually to do research, not only basic research, but also translational research. So we always aim to find something that we can also, use for the patient treatment or the diagnosis. So the second one is just pregnancy. You know, all these patients, they are, this patient disease starts in a childbearing ages. So this is why pregnancy is a special period for these patients, according to their treatment and according to, or related issue with the pregnancy itself. So we are, as we know, pregnancy complication in NMOSD patient is not seldom, it's frequent. So, and also we know that placenta has also aquaporin 4 receptors. We are just trying to explore the role of the antibodies during the pregnancy period in aquaporin 4 positive NMOSD cases. So this is the other one, interesting project. We are really excited about the results. So it's ongoing. And actually the other one is about the biomarkers, because we need biomarkers to not only to diagnose the patient, but also for the follow-up. And so our research is focused on the NMOSD and MOGAD patients. Recently, there are some biomarkers described like GFAP or neurofilaments in addition to the antibodies. And for the central nervous system disorders, actually the biological source, main source is cerebrospinal fluid, but it's not possible to have CSF easily. We can do lumbar puncture once, but no chance for the second. So this is why we are just trying to find another biological source to follow up the biomarkers in NMOSD patients. And if we have a, good results as a first step, the second step will be to design wearable materials to follow this biomarkers remotely in NMOSD patients. So these are some translational or basic research studies ongoing in our laboratories, but we are really actively connected with the foundations like Gatti Jackson Charitable Foundations and SRNI and the MOG Project and the European NMO Association MIDEN and acute optic neuritis study project. So we are really active with the clinical science sides and the basic sides. I'm really lucky that I have my own neuroimmunology lab with the PhD students. So it's a very good chance for me to have them because I mean, alone I cannot do anything. So
Well, that's amazing. I'm so interested to learn about the results of all of those studies, hopefully in the next few years or however long, and have you back on one of our other podcasts to talk about the results of the
yeah,
research.
maybe in the future it will be a pleasure for me. So
Yes, definitely. We are honored to have Coach University as one of SRNA's recognized centers of excellence in rare neuroimmune disorders. I'd like to give you the chance to share more about your specific neuroimmunology multidisciplinary clinic team,
yes.
what other specialists might a new patient see if they have an appointment with you, and how does a new patient typically get connected with you, and what might that look like?
Yes, actually, because these are the rare disease and because they are heterogeneous disorders with comorbidities like NMOSD, especially aquaporin 4 positive NMOSD, they can have these neurological disorders, but they can have also additional comorbid diseases. So this is why I believe the teamwork, multidisciplinary teamwork is very important to just to take care of the patients, to diagnose, to follow up, to treat. So in every step, we need to collaborate with the other specialties also in medicine. So this is why, I mean, this is a multidisciplinary team-based demyelinating disease center at Koç University established a few years ago. So when the patient comes to me, actually I see them and I spend at least 1 hour with the patient, and there's no restrict time spot for the patient how long they need. I can just spend the time together with them. Well, I believe that detailed medical history is very critical. So detailed medical history, detailed neurological examination, and just look at and evaluate all the tests before done before coming to the Koç University. And during this period, actually, I have really close collaboration together with the neuroradiologist and ophthalmologist. So they are the key, colleagues that I have really close contact with them. And so whatever the patient needs, for example, rheumatology consultation, urology consultation, ophthalmology consultation, psychiatric consultation, or physical therapy consultation, we can easily organize them. And it's just, and we have really good neuroradiology department, actually. Every week we have a regular neuroradiology meeting that we evaluate and discuss all the patients together. And within 1 week, we completed, I mean, we complete all the investigation and the, consultations. And after a week, we can just talk the patient again about the conclusion, about the diagnosis, and about what we need more and how we follow up. So at the end, and at the beginning and at the end, actually, it's very important to talk to patient clearly, because decision actually is not only my decision. It must be mutual decision with the patient and the doctor. I can give the choices, but we do the final conclusion or final decision together with the patient. And we are lucky that about neuroradiology actually, because we have MRI machines in our hospital, two MRI machines, and in the same week we can have the MRI investigation. So, and also the difference of our center, we can have special kind of MRI investigation, including central vein sign and the paramagnetic rim signs. So these are very important markers, radiological markers actually, at the diagnosis level or process, and also follow-up process to decide about the treatment and so, and the differential diagnosis. So I think we are really lucky. We have these opportunities actually, and during this whole period, and this is very important, that patient cannot feel confused or lost the organization of these consultations, and the investigation is very important. So I think we have really good organization for them also.
Sounds like it. That sounds amazing. So thank you for sharing
Thank
and
you.
explaining that. So I can imagine as a clinician, especially when you're dealing with so much unknown with these disorders, that it can be difficult at times. So I'd like to know how do you take care of yourself emotionally? What do you do in your free time that helps you relax or reset?
Yes, I mean, I completely agree with you. If I am fine, I could be more, positive, optimistic, also during the day, during my professional life. So this is why I defined my priorities actually. Yeah, my work is priority for me, because I like to work. I mean, it's not really something that I have to do. It's like my hobby. So, but I have different priorities also, like my family, my friends, my students. So, and also my physical health. This is why especially recently, I am really careful to spend some time for the physical exercise, to keep myself physically healthy also. And the other thing, I mentioned that I have a PhD students and also neuroimmunology lab. And it is very important for me to have people around me optimistic and motivated, highly motivated. And and I believe that happiness is also, like an infectious disease. You can transmit the happiness also. And so this is why it is very important for me to be together with the optimistic people, and assuming the work as an hobby and as a just something enjoyable, not only for money, not only for professional reasons. So it's very important to enjoy research, for example. It is sometimes stressful, but it's better to decrease the stress and create a peaceful social interaction. So this is very important for me. This is why I choose the people working with me always positive, smiling, and not pessimistic, actually. So this also makes me happy.
Well, that sounds like a great plan, and I'm glad it works for you. So is there anything you'd like to share for people with a rare neuroimmune disorder who is considering your clinic for care?
Actually, because these are the rare disease, just general neurologists or general doctors or family medicine doctors, they cannot know the details. So we know the details because we are just following the current data, current literature. So, and this is why I advise the patients. Especially at the beginning, at the diagnostic period, go to the specialized center and have the diagnosis, correct diagnosis at the beginning. And then they can continue, I mean, after the diagnosis and after establishing the correct treatment for them, they can just visit their neurologist or their doctors in a regular basis just for the control, but for the main decisions, they need to go to the specialized centers because these centers and the doctors in these centers, they follow the current literature and they know the current information. They have the current information about the diagnosis, about the follow-up, about the treatment. So this is why at the beginning it's very important to come to the specialist center and then they can continue with the doctor around them. So
Got it. So I always like to end my podcasts with a note of hope. So, what are you hopeful for in the future of rare neuroimmune disorders?
Actually, I mean, I am really hopeful. Not because I am optimistic, but there are lots of reasons to be hopeful. Because we know MS since many years, but we still don't know the antibody or the exact mechanism of the disease. But now for NMOSD and MOGAD, we have the diagnostic biomarker, and we are really doing good actually to understand the mechanism of the disease and design the targeted treatments for this disorder. So, for example, it is the reality now. We have targeted treatments for aquaporin for positive NMOSD and for the MOG also. I am sure in the near future we will have targeted treatments also. So this is why I'm really hopeful for the treatment. And also there when you look at the literature, the publications, lots of publication, just increasing the numbers of the publication. That means we know, I mean, a lot, or our knowledge is increasing very fast about these disorders. So that means, we are getting closer to understand the details of the disease. And so I'm really hopeful, and I'll be really happy if I can do anything, any information that I can also, verify or show, and then transmit these results to the patient care.
Well, I certainly agree. I think there's so much in the pipeline, and the research has come such a long way in the last couple decades. So Thank you so much for your contributions to the research of these disorders and hopefully finding more targeted therapies and biomarkers.
Thank you very much for having me again. It was a great pleasure for me to talk and just to answer your questions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you to our Community Meets Clinic sponsors, Amgen, Alexion AstraZeneca Rare Disease, UCB, and Genentech. Amgen is focused on the discovery, development, and commercialization of medicines that address critical needs for people impacted by rare, autoimmune, and severe inflammatory diseases. They apply scientific expertise and courage to bring clinically meaningful therapies to patients. Amgen believes science and compassion must work together to transform lives. Alexion AstraZeneca Rare Disease is a global biopharmaceutical company focused on serving patients with severe and rare disorders through the innovation, development, and commercialization of life-transforming therapeutic products. Their goal is to deliver medical breakthroughs where none currently exist, and they are committed to ensuring that patient perspective and community engagement are always at the forefront of their work. UCB innovates and delivers solutions that make real improvements for people living with severe diseases. They partner with and listen to patients, caregivers, and stakeholders across the healthcare system to identify promising innovations that create valuable health solutions. Founded more than 40 years ago, Genentech is a leading biotechnology company that discovers, develops, manufactures, and commercializes medicines to treat patients with serious and life-threatening medical conditions. The company, a member of the Roche Group, has headquarters in South San Francisco, California. For additional information about the company, please visit www.gene.com.